Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Today's Wednesday, August 19th, 2026. I hope you're having a good morning so far. Let's get you through the rest of your day. Let's start you off strong and show you everything you might have missed at the barn yesterday. Auburn has several position battles still playing out as we get close to week one, but one of the most interesting is happening at cornerback. Gavin Jenkins appears to grab the job early in fall camp, but now veteran Rashawn Pleasant is making a serious push. And according to Charlie Five, this may be less about finding a starter and more about Auburn realizing it has two of them.
And then, boom, all of a sudden, right here before the second scrimmage, Rashawn Pleasant has creeped his way into getting a lot of starting snaps. He started in the scrimmage. He was the number one guy that looked like a pretty solid starting lineup the two practices prior. This thing's going back and forth, and it's kind of cool, the dynamic, because you have a really young guy, and then you have a senior that's played a lot of football. A senior that had some big plays on the big stage last year. Everybody remembers, you know, everybody remembers that Arkansas game where, you know, Auburn seemingly took control and then kind of gave back control and then needed some big plays there at the end of the game. And he comes up with two interceptions. One of them, he returned for a touchdown. So, not to mention, I mean, the return stuff is not really related to corner, but just goes to show you what kind of player and what kind of impact he has. I really don't know who comes out on top here. And it may be a scenario or it may be a situation, and Zach and I kind of talked about this. It may be a situation to where, number one, whoever goes out first doesn't really matter. Whoever goes out first, it literally could be a 1A, 1B situation. Whoever goes out first doesn't necessarily mean they're going to play the most snaps. It could be a snap rotation thing. And with Rashawn doing some other things, with Rashawn doing, you know, the kick, he was the number one kick returner in the first scrimmage. With him doing those other things, it may be wise to spell him at times. It may be wise to try to keep him fresh, because if you think about it, when do you receive a kickoff? You receive a kickoff typically after you've been on the field on defense for, you know, a while, unless it's opening a half. But after the opposing offense scores, they're going to kick it back to the they're going to kick it back to you. Well, you've been on defense this whole time, so can you be quite as effective if you're in the game and fully in the game playing corner, and then turn around and have to receive a kick? I don't know the answer to that. I do know this: both of these dudes can play, and both of these guys are really, really good for each other, and it's a really good spot to be in. Versus, it's a good spot to be in when you have two guys that could be starters duking it out versus two guys fighting to try to find a starter, to try to see which one can start. Where this is, to me, based off everything I've seen, based off everything I've heard, based off of everything when you talk to people around the program, both of these guys are SEC level starters. And so you're just trying to figure out which one's the best. I do wonder sometimes if it's close, do you look at things that are outside of just on the football field?
Not a bad problem to have in the secondary department. So thank you for that. Go check out the Top Button podcast. That'll be out later on today, a brand new episode as well. We've talked about a lot about culture of Alex Golish, how he's trying to build it at Auburn, but it's different hearing it from somebody who's actually been on the inside of that locker room. Former Auburn captain Chandler Wooten had watched this viral clip of Golish lighting into his team. And what stood out wasn't just Golish's intensity. It was how Auburn's players responded to him.
And one thing I noticed during that clip, man, of him basically telling the guys, like, do you want it or do you not? Right? We got to make up our mind, like, you know, pretty much what kind of team we're going to be. And the one thing that I noticed was every single player was locked in. Like, go back and watch the clip, and I just want you to go back and look at Elijah Melendez. Go watch him. Number nine, he got a do-rag on, black do-rag. He looked like he was ready to run through a wall. He looked like he was ready to go and play Georgia, Alabama right now. I kid you not. And so you're talking about we got us one. I'm gonna just tell you that we got us one, because you're talking about a coach who, every single place he's been, the offense has turned around dramatically. In a great way. Like, you just go back and look at what he did at Tennessee. It was unreal at some points. And then you go to a place like USF, a team that had won 3 or 4 games in like 3 years, bro. It was bad. It was that bad. And for him to go there and to completely turn that offense around as well, develop quarterbacks at Tennessee. Receivers have had ample amount of success in his system. Running backs as well. And we got that here on the plans. But at the same time, not like, forget the X's and O's. Every single one of his players seem like they're ready to run through that brick wall for him. And the SEC, that's powerful. Really, in college, in football in general, that's powerful. Like, players feed off of that. That is contagious, bro. I'm telling you. You can be a great X's and O's coach all you want to, but if you can't motivate your players, it's hard to win, bro. And I know some people are probably thinking, like, man, you shouldn't have to motivate anybody to do it. To a certain degree, you're right. But I promise you, every single player, you ask any player, any sport, when they got a coach who will instill that confidence in them, that belief in them like that, speak life into them like that, who they know is ready to run through a wall for them, they're going to do the same for that coach. They're going to do the exact same for their coach. And that's what I'm seeing now with Golish and Auburn. Like, it's to that point now.
Always love hearing from Chandler. Make sure you go check out Landing on the Plains, a great episode. We get that every week here on The Barn. Well, we spent most of the offseason talking about whether Auburn has enough weapons around Byron Brown, but with just over 2 weeks left until kickoff, the conversation might be completely different very soon. On Village Vice, Zach and Brad went through the receivers as they actually trust the play of meaningful snaps and came always wondering whether Auburn has more talent at wide receiver than it can actually even use.
All right, so how many receivers? Over, under, 7.5.
So gut reaction, I think I'm going to be lower on this than some people.
Okay. All right.
The first four are obvious.
Okay.
Koger, Singleton, no particular order. Koger, yeah. Singleton, Nimrod, Spencer.
Got it.
Unpopular opinion.
Are you done after? Opinion. Are you finished after four?
I think there's a larger drop off after that than we're all acting like there is.
Okay. All right.
I like Brian Williams Jr. a lot.
Yeah.
I'd put him at 5.
Okay.
I think I'm chilling. The Neptune can get to 6 for me.
Okay.
The issue is we mentioned 3 guys that are playing slot.
Yeah.
I don't know how feasible that is. Do they move Chaz out more in those situations to give Neptune and Spencer more snaps at the slot?
Yeah.
I think I'm done after that. So who does that leave out? That leaves out Kane. That leaves out
Turner.
Sam Turner is another one that's interesting. Yeah. The opinions on Sam Turner are all over the place.
Leaves out Trey Turner.
I've always called him Big Play Trey.
I know you have called him Turner the Burner. but it leaves out both Turners in that regard. Here's, look, small sample size, and I know, and like to make this argument cleaner, I should go and look at 2 years at Tennessee, 3 years at South Florida. But just looking at last year, seven receivers caught double-digit passes. Six and seven caught exactly 11 passes. So it's not a huge, but they all got over 100. They all that got double-digit catches got over 100 yards receiving. So, but does that mean that like number six and seven were viable, important games in the balance guys that are on the field? Probably not. So you go under if I say 7.5. I think they're like, I'm okay. What's the right way to say this? I think I'm more comfortable with a number over 7.5, but I don't think it's feasible in many offenses. Like, I think Auburn has more talent than need at that position.
Which is good. I mean, it's a young room.
Right. Yeah. You're in a really good spot.
Yeah. The only guy you're losing to eligibility is Chaz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see if Keyshawn puts enough on tape for the NFL to want him.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely don't know how that's going to go. Genuinely, yeah. Not sure.
Well, even more is added to the docket because Auburn just added another weapon at wide receiver in Troy transfer Trey Taylor. But something else happened at practice on the exact same day that makes the addition a lot more interesting. Bryce Kane reportedly took reps at cornerback. On the Barnes Social Hour, Hunter and Graham wondered whether these two developments might actually be connected.
And yeah, he's 5'8", 160.
Yeah, according to 24/7, he's 5'8", 160.
So on the smaller side, but I've heard he's fast. He's very, very quick. Kind of like, you know, could come in and be the quickest guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something interesting else I want to mention. And I don't know how, like, you know, true it is, but Bryce Kane today took some reps at practice. I saw this on X. I cannot remember who posted it. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was Justin Ferguson. Okay, so Justin Ferguson tweeted out saying that Bryce Kane was taking reps today with the corners, which I thought was really interesting.
Hmm.
And the reason I say this is because this Trey Taylor and Bryce Kane are very similar in size, and they're both very, very quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're considering a position change for Bryce Kane. Be like, hey, let's try you out at corner. Let's see what you can do. Then Trey Taylor kind of comes in and takes. Obviously, I don't think Bryce Kane is going to be a starting job. I maybe saw the field a little bit. I could see Trey Taylor coming in and taking just like the spot where Bryce Kane was. And then, you mm-hmm. know, because it's a hard path I see for playing time for Trey Taylor just because of the fact, like, you've already feel like you've got your four guys. And then, you know, I don't see, you know, unless he does like some special team stuff, which could be great. I don't know. But,
mm-hmm.
the whole Bryce Kane switching to corner stuff today and then us getting this guy on the same day, just like, I'm like interested to see where all that goes.
That doesn't seem like a coincidence, like a winky dink, if you will. I like Bryce Kane a lot. I still think he has the ability to play receiver at Auburn. I do. If you put him on the outside, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but he is so dangerous wherever you put him. Cause like you said, him and Trey Taylor are very similar. They're very quick, but that being said, him at corner, he's got good hands. You know that. We've seen it. We saw that last year with his, you know, the highlight film from USF and, you know, all that. So it wouldn't shock me if he does really well at that position, because with two things with corner, you have to be the fastest player on the field. That has literally been the thing for decades, eons, if you will, that the cornerback position has to be the fastest position on the field. Also, you have to have the best hands on defense. He has both of those. So I think he can excel in that position and Trey Taylor kind of move into that spot, but I don't know how that's going to work. We literally start football season 2 weeks from now. So I don't know.
And that's what you might have missed around the barn as we head into August 18th, 2026. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you go check out our 24/7 stream and all the new episodes that'll be out on the channel throughout the rest of the day. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Coffee and Cornbread.